Well, a very good day to you. Welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond with you here today on Tri-State Gospel Radio, bringing you God's good word for us today from His Holy Word. We'll be speaking today concerning the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And we're speaking, of course, of Jesus Christ, and still looking at the question, is He really who He claimed to be, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the only one in whom salvation can be found? He made those claims. He said, I'm one with the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We've been examining that question for quite some time, and we've gone through the earthly existence of Jesus Christ upon this earth in physical body, in human form. He's back with the Father now, in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. And as promised, the Holy Spirit has come. Pentecost has arrived. The Holy Spirit has come with power and empowered the believers in Jesus Christ to be ministers, to be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the rest of the New Testament really is concerning the witnessing by believers for Jesus Christ, witnessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as they are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do so. We'll begin with that in just a moment, but let's first go to God in prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for every blessing that we enjoy as your children. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that He came and went to the cross of Calvary and paid sin's debt for us all, in order that whosoever will come and believe in Jesus, shall not perish but have everlasting life. And thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that is with us today to empower us to be God in us, your very manifestation within us and through us. Thank you for the word that you gave us, Holy Spirit. Thank you for empowering us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today to be spokespersons for God, witnesses for Jesus Christ, witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, Holy Spirit, as we open your word and as I read from it and as I speak from it, I pray that you will be speaking in me and speaking through me the words of truth that you have given to us. May these words give glory and honor to God our Father and exalt the name of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, turn with me in Luke chapter 11, and I want to go back to a time when Jesus was ministering upon this earth and teaching. In fact, the first few references today will be back in the life of Jesus, some things he said about the coming of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus is speaking a parable, and beginning with verse 11 of chapter 11, he says these words, "Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, in another reference in Matthew, the phrase is give good gifts to those who ask him. Here in Luke, it is give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Now, the Holy Spirit from God, the very Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, is God with us today. Since Pentecost, since that 50-day period of time after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we find Pentecost occurring, the coming of the Holy Spirit there in Jerusalem. He came upon those believers to indwell those believers. Now, in the Old Testament times, we had the Holy Spirit coming to be upon believers and to empower believers for special events or for special things that they needed to do. It was a giving of power, supernatural power, God's power, to those believers in the Old Testament to perform certain tasks that were required of them. In the New Testament era, in the church era, in the era of the Gentile age, or the era of grace, we call it all of those things, and all of those things are correct terms for the period in which we live today. It's the age of the church. It's the age of grace. It is the New Testament era, the New Testament formed and made by the blood of Jesus Christ and instituted by Jesus Christ himself. It's the church age. It's not the age of the law. That's past. That's over with. That's done. Jesus completed the law. He fulfilled the law. He didn't do away with the law. He finished it. He completed it. He met the requirements of the law. The wages of sin is death. He met those requirements, and he paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time upon the cross of Calvary. So Jesus completed the law, and he ushered in the age of grace in which we live today. In this age of grace, we have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to come into our life as believers, to indwell us. Jesus said in John chapter 14 that I will pray the Father, and he will send you another Comforter, that he may be with you forever. Now, Jesus also spoke of some important things about the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, if you'd like to turn with me to the Gospel of John and look at chapter 14 just a moment, we'll find some things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit there. In fact, John chapter 14, 15, and 16 contain what Jesus had to say about the coming of the Holy Spirit and the job of the Holy Spirit, what he would be doing. In verse 12 of chapter 14, Jesus says, saying, "Truly, truly," or if you're reading the King James, "verily, verily, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." Now, what's he talking about? Greater works than I do shall he do, he who believes in me, he who trusts in me, shall do greater works than I have done. Now, this is not of our own fleshly nature. It's not of our own human strength. It is because we have God dwelling within us, the very power of God within us, which is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit manifests the presence of God the Father and God the Son within our lives. The Holy Spirit is the power of God within us. So Jesus said, "Greater works than I do shall you do, because I go to the Father." Now, he explained that if he did not go to the Father, the Holy Spirit would not come. But if he went to the Father, which he did, then he would ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to us. And the Holy Spirit came into this world to indwell believers at Pentecost there in Jerusalem. And from that time forward, when an individual becomes a child of God, when an individual believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepts Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, at that moment the Holy Spirit comes to indwell in that believer, never to leave that believer. So we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. There in John chapter 14, Jesus said, in fact, when we read here in verse 26, chapter 14 of John, verse 26, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me." So he is to bear witness of Jesus Christ. Actually, that's John chapter 15, verse 26. If we turn back to John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we," notice that, "we will come to him and make our abode with him." And that's speaking of a permanent abode. So Jesus is saying, in this age of grace, in this age of the Holy Spirit, the Father and I and the Holy Spirit shall indwell the believer. So we are indwelt by God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the very power of God within us to manifest God's presence to us and to manifest God's presence through us to others. So we are to go in the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit, and to be witnesses of Jesus Christ, witnesses to Jesus Christ, and witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if we'd move back just a moment to John chapter 7, we see other words of Jesus Christ, where he says these words. He says, "He who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." And it goes ahead to explain that he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. In other words, Jesus was to be glorified and returned to the Father, ascending to the Father before the Spirit came. And we see that that actually happened. After Jesus was crucified, put into the ground, of course, his body put into the ground, on the third day, by the power of the Spirit, Jesus Christ arose. Over the next 40 days, he appeared to individuals at various times in various ways and witnessed to them and gave them commandment, gave them the Great Commission of Matthew chapter 28, and he gave to them their marching orders, so to speak, from that time forward. He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, on the day of his ascension, he said, "You shall be my witnesses, first here in Jerusalem, where you are right now, then in Judea, the surrounding territory, then to Samaria, that city to the north, and then to the uttermost part of the earth." And I believe that is the manner in which we are to evangelize. We are to do it in our home area. We're to do it right in our home, to our own family members, and then branch that out, making that circle ever larger until it encompasses the community in which we live, and then perhaps the city in which we live, and then the state in which we live, and finally to the whole world. We are to be witnesses of the gospel, witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the Great Commission. He said in Matthew chapter 28, to go into all the world and make disciples. That's the commission, to make disciples. Now notice he says, he doesn't say to save people. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of God. We sometimes get that a bit confused. We don't save anyone. That's the work of God to save by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit convicts that individual of their sin, draws them to Jesus Christ, and when they are introduced to Jesus Christ, they must accept him or reject him. And if an individual accepts Jesus and asks him to come into his life and to be a Savior and Lord, Jesus does that. And the individual is born again into the family of God, becomes a child of God, becomes a new creation in Christ Jesus, and becomes then a citizen of heaven, indwelt by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit being the very power of God to manifest God's presence. So here in John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus says, "He who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Now, the living water refers to the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is often spoke of as living water. Living water that is flowing. Living water that is moving. Jesus speaks here of rivers, plural, of living water. And he speaks of that as flowing out of one's innermost being. And that means, then, that the Holy Spirit is flowing into the individual, you see. So we are to be in a state or in a condition, as is defined in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that is a present imperative kind of command. If we interpret that as best we can into English, that phrase there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the commandment to be filled with the Holy Spirit, is not just a one-time thing, or it's not a one-time thing today, and then again tomorrow, and then again the next day. It is a continuing thing. It is ongoing. It is like the faucet that is flowing. It is like the river that is flowing. It continues to flow. It never stops. That's what is intended for you and me as believers, for us to continually be being filled with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Now, to interpret that phrase, that commandment to be filled with the Spirit, into English the best we can, it goes something like that. We are to be in a state or in a condition of continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the river that's continually flowing into us, and consequently then continually flowing from us. As Jesus said in John chapter 7 here, if we're to be in a condition where rivers of living water will be flowing from us, then we must be also in the condition where rivers of living water are flowing into us. So yes, we're a channel for the Holy Spirit. The channel flows into us and flows out of us. Now, a lot of the time, we think of the Holy Spirit as just filling us. Fill my cup, Lord. And we look at it in the sense that that we want the blessing. We want our cup filled. I hear individuals talking about going to church sometime and referring to it as, I'm going to church to get my cup filled. I'm going to church to get my blessing. I'm going to church to get my gas tank filled for the week. Such frivolous statements as this are often the attitude displayed by church members. But you know, we should be going to church in order to give glory to God. We should be going to church in order to worship God, and to give him thanks and to give him glory. We're going there to give something to God, not to get something from him. So we've got it all turned around often, you see. Our purpose as believers is to give glory to God our Father and to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Our purpose in going to church should be to worship God. That's giving him something. That's giving him praise. That's giving him honor. That's giving him glory. That's giving him thanks, you see. And that's the real purpose. So often, we as human beings get the things of God just turned around backward. And it's not for us to go to church to get a blessing. It's for us to go to church to be a blessing, to be worshiping God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order that rivers of living water can be flowing from us, you see. It's not for us to be filled, our cup to be filled, in other words, our thirst to be satisfied. That's not the real purpose. Our purpose is to be giving living water to others. Our purpose is to be a source, a channel of blessing, yes. That's what we're to really be, a channel of blessing, a channel through which the Holy Spirit can flow to other people. That's really what God wants us to be. Now, in the process, we will be satisfied. In the process, we will be filled. In the process, we'll be drinking that living water that is moving and fresh. Oh, my friend, we'll be satisfied. Satisfied fully and completely. Satisfied much more so than if we think in terms of filling our cup and then just sitting with a filled cup that becomes stagnant over time, you see. It's much better to be that channel through which the rivers of living water can flow. That's the way God wants us to be. That's the way we're to be as believers, to be in a state of continually being filled with the Holy Spirit in order that rivers of living water shall flow from us at all times. And I like to remember here that Jesus said rivers, plural. He didn't say a little trickle. He didn't say a stream. He didn't say even one river. He said rivers, plural. A lot of water, fresh, living water, flowing into us and flowing from us. That's what God wants for us. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to be and wants to do in us, is to flow through us. We are to be an unimpeded river or rivers of water. Now, we need to be careful that we do not hinder the flow of the Holy Spirit. The Bible speaks of our quenching the Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, we're given the commandment, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Now, quenching is a term that is like squeezing together. It's like our taking a hose and our squeezing it so hard that we shut off the flow of the water. That's what quenching is. Stopping, in other words, the flowing of the Holy Spirit, shutting down these rivers of living water that are flowing into us and flowing through us. We're not to do that. We're not to quench the Holy Spirit. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you read the surrounding material relating to that commandment to not quench the Holy Spirit, we'll find a description of doing things that are of God, peaceable and gentle and encouraging one another and building one another up. And then we'll find the opposite of that, jealousy and envy and tearing one another down and destroying. That's the things of the devil. And that's the way we quench the flow of the Holy Spirit. If we give a way to the devil, you see, out of individuals, we'll generally have one of two rivers flowing. We'll have the river of life, which is the river of the Holy Spirit, or we'll have the rivers of the natural, the rivers of the devil. The rivers of the devil bring about strife and envy and jealousy and hatred and all those kinds of things that are destructive. On the other hand, the rivers of life, from the Holy Spirit's presence within our lives, brings forth peace and goodness and love and gentleness, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And we're kind to one another, we're building up one another, and that's the result of the flowing of the rivers of living water by the Holy Spirit within us. So we're not to quench the Holy Spirit. We're to let it flow, and let it flow as rivers of living water into our lives and then on through our lives. Now, we're also told to not grieve the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieving the Holy Spirit is acting in a manner that is not Christ-like. Again, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we quench the Holy Spirit, when we stop the Holy Spirit, when we interfere with the movement of the Holy Spirit, when we allow the rivers of the devil to flow instead of the rivers of living water of the Holy Spirit, when we allow envy and strife and jealousy and all of these kinds of things that James says are of the earth, natural and demonic, he said. But James went ahead to say in James chapter 5 that which comes down from above is first pure and peaceable and gentle, that of the Holy Spirit, that which is from God, you see. The things of God, the rivers of living water, give life. The rivers from the devil bring death. Yes, they're the opposite of one another. The rivers of the devil bring about a tearing down and a destroying. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the devil comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the purpose of the devil. That's the purpose of the rivers of unliving water, if you will, that flow from the devil or flow from the natural person. But the rivers of life, which flow of the Holy Spirit, bring life, my friend, bring peace and joy and love and the fruits of the Holy Spirit within our lives. So we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We're not to quench the Holy Spirit, but we are to allow the Holy Spirit to flow richly and fully in our lives. Now, the purpose of the Holy Spirit within us is to be our comforter, to be our guide, to be our teacher, to be the very power of God working in us and working through us, to give life. Remember, it's rivers of living water, to give life and to give it more abundantly. Again, in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, first of all, the devil comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came, he said, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's what the rivers of living water, the flowing of the Holy Spirit, is to do within us. Now, the Holy Spirit then gives life, fresh and new, brings the fruit of the Holy Spirit within us, the power of God within us, the presence of God within us. And remember, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, according to the words of Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 23, dwell within us as believers. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Father is in heaven on the throne. Yes, Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand, interceding for you and me. But remember, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And being spirit, God is omnipresent, that is present everywhere. So he's present within me as a believer. He's present within you as a believer. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, to bring life and to make of us a new creation, a new citizen of heaven, and give us a new home in heaven. Jesus went away to prepare that home for us. And he said, as surely as I go to prepare that home for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Yes, today we live in the time, the age of grace, the age of the Holy Spirit, indwelling the believer, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, indwelling each believer to empower us to be ambassadors, to be witnesses for Jesus Christ and of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to go in the power of the Holy Spirit and make disciples of all mankind, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, Jesus said, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are to make disciples. So we proclaim the gospel. We preach the gospel. We witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the gospel, my friend. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to proclaim that gospel. And when we proclaim that gospel, then the Holy Spirit in the life of the hearer convicts that individual of sin and draws them to Jesus Christ. And when that individual then is convicted of their sin and confesses their sin and asks Jesus to come into their heart and life, they are born again into the family of God. They become the new creation in Christ Jesus. And there's one more member of the family of God. There's one more citizen of heaven. There's one more that is yanked from the grasp of the devil and from eternal death and given eternal life in Jesus Christ. We are in the age of the gospel. We're in the age of the church. Oh, we need to proclaim the gospel, the good news, that we can receive Jesus Christ and have life eternal. That's the good news. And that's a good word from God's holy word today. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel Radio.